You might have heard the Trump administration rolled back some of the Obama-era regulations on federal contractors. But the Labor Department remains a potent force for compliance, as 1,000 contractors found out last month. We get more now from Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And I think your latest blog post shows that you just can't take anything for granted, despite the ebbs and flows of regulation.
Tom, that's exactly it. And that's the point that I'm making in my blog posting this week. We're talking about contractors usually look at compliance issues in terms of things like Buy American Act, or even how are they doing with their pricing, or is their pricing and discounting consistent with what they told the government it is. But you can't forget about labor law compliance if you're a service contractor. And when the government is a net buyer of services, Tom, there are an awful lot of companies that sell professional services to the government. They kind of got a little reminder in the mail last month that that compliance with labor laws and all of your service contract compliance contract clauses are important.
Now, these letters, 1,000 of them went out. What did they promise the department would do, actually?
Well, these are very targeted letters, Tom, and merely receiving a letter does not mean that you're going to come in for a review. What it does tell you is that you made the short list. Congratulations. So you could get a review on things like your veterans hiring practices, affirmative action programs, other EEO requirements. So all the things that you have to do in terms of being a fair and proactive hire, all the things you sign up to when you're a government contractor, Tom. But not every company may always understand what they've obligated themselves to when they sign on the dotted line for this contract. So the Department of Labor is going to come around and in many cases conduct what they call a desk audit, which is not necessarily a full-blown audit, but it's still something that companies need to take seriously, because if the auditor finds that you are not complying with things like affirmative action, then that could lead to a larger full-scale audit against your company. And those are very expensive and time-consuming.
And can fines result if they find something that's wrong?
Oh, no question, Tom. You can be fined for not complying with the terms of your contract. There could be, depending on the clause, liquidated damages, potentially treble damages that could come into play here, depending on the laws that the auditor wanted to enforce. So you could, as a contractor, really come in for a substantial penalty and big disruption to your business if you aren't actually following these rules.
Now, these 1,000 companies, were they chosen at random, or is there some way that they decide who might be ripe for an audit?
My understanding from this process, Tom, is that it was a pretty random selection of companies that sell professional and non-professional services to the government. So there's going to be a mix of companies that sell a lot of these things to the government, and then there are going to be a smaller number of companies that maybe sell some services to the government, but not in as high a dollar volume as their colleagues. And the Department of Labor wants to get a good sense of where the big guys are, but they also want to make sure that the medium-sized companies know that they're not totally off the hook for following their contract obligations.
Now, does the Labor Department have sway over whether a company follows immigration policy, or is that Homeland Security?
Yeah, it's Homeland Security. But in addition to the topic of the letter that went out, and we're talking here again about affirmative action, equal employment opportunity, the Department of Labor also, Tom, has the ability to enforce the Services Contract Act and the Davis-Bacon Act. Those are usually the two bigger laws that service contractors face in the federal market. My understanding is that Davis-Bacon and Service Contract Act compliance are not part of the latest action, which really just, again, serves to let contractors know when you're talking about compliance, you really have to take a 360-degree look at the terms and conditions in your contract.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and so be warned, now you know. And I wanted to also ask you about an item with respect to the DOD's Big Cloud Award, a $950 million award to a company called REAN. That struck you as indicative of some larger issues.
It did, Tom, even though that specific award has gotten a rather sizable haircut. Nevertheless, I think it's important for contractors to understand, look, this award was made using other transaction authority. Your DoD business partners particularly are very interested in other transactions right now. They're not traditional acquisitions. In addition to other transaction authority, Tom, you have agencies like GSA and DHS and even DoD again having innovation labs where they're doing innovative acquisitions, trying to get leading edge projects. My response to industry is, look, your customer has given you every indication that they're looking for innovative ways to buy things and they're looking for ways to get cutting edge technology. You'd better follow suit. One of the examples that I'm giving, Tom, is, look, if your federal customer has an innovation lab, maybe you ought to have one too as a government contractor. That's a very outward and visible sign that you, as a participant in the government market, understand what's happening with your customer and that you're right there with them as an innovator who is there to be a partner and maybe leading them or at least walking with them. You don't want to be perceived in this market, Tom, as a company that's being dragged to innovation by the government customer.
Yeah, this was an unusual one because knowing, as the community has known for a long time, that DOD was going to have this big cloud contract, probably everyone assumed, well, will it be AWS? Will it be Google? Or will it be Microsoft? And so it was none of the above.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is what kind of drew the interest of what I would call more traditional government contractors who were expecting probably a usual suspect award. And they really didn't get it. What they really didn't get, Tom, was an award made using a traditional government contract award process. So it was the uniqueness of the way that DOD went around about awarding this piece of work, as well as the very substantial dollar figure that was initially in play. What that tells us, in case we needed another example, is that the Department of Defense in particular believes that today's government acquisition system is broken. It's not working well, broken, pick your statement. If you're a contractor, even a traditional contractor, you have to look for non-traditional ways to meet your government customer where they are. So you better know at least as much, if not more, about other transaction authority as your DoD customer. You'd better be able to show them an innovative way to get things. And if you're stuck in the last century in terms of innovation, you better find a partner that's innovative and agile, because that's going to be key to being able to compete on increasing numbers of acquisitions just like this.
That's right. This company is a partner to one of those big three that I mentioned, because it doesn't look like an infrastructure provider itself so much as a services provider. It will use whatever infrastructure it uses. But this company provides enterprise transformation, migration, deployment, operations, data services, security, big data, so on.
Well, that's right. And in fact, this award, REAN, is a partner with Amazon Web Services. So they are offering Amazon Web Services solution, but they're going to be the service provider, the integrator, the one who puts it all together for the DoD customer. And you're right in saying that a company, whether it's Amazon Web Services or Microsoft or Oracle or whoever else, should be looking for innovative partners just like this, not just the ones that offer innovative solutions, although that's always important. But that's kind of a traditional thing. What this showed here is you ought to be looking for partners that can work with the government to deliver a project using innovative acquisition tools, things that can be done very quickly to meet in instant needs so that you're not taking months and months. And there are not a lot of pre-solicitation conferences or draft RFQs. The government just turns to the company they would like to make the acquisition with, and it's done. And it can move just that quickly, and you better be prepared to be part of that marketplace.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Thanks so much.
Tom, I appreciate it, and I wish your listeners happy selling.
Find a link to his blog and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.